speed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 16th of April, 2025. Did you survive tax day? Good. I'm glad you did. You know who did? With no problem? Billionaires! They survived tax day without any worry at all. They just kind of sailed through it. They said, oh, yes, I'm floating on my sea of $1,000 bills. That's what they did. That's right, they sure did. How are you? What's going on? Hope you're having a good day. It's a lovely day here where I am. Where am I? I'm out here in the wild and woolly west. Yep, that's where I am. Hooey, ding. That's right. I do the best sound effects. That's right. Here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. What is a Paisley Penny Arcade? Well, it's whatever you want it to be. It used to be a kind of a jolly old saint place. Saint, I don't know if it was a saint place. Nothing saintly about it, but it was just a fun place to be. Still a fun place to be. I may revive all the weirdness that I was doing at some point, but, well, things are changing. It's a whirlwind around here at 1-2 Radio, and things are shifting. Maybe you heard about them, maybe you didn't. I'm not, tisn't for me to talk about what's happening. You probably heard all about it. Hear ye, hear ye. The spirits are about to speak. Are they friendly spirits? Just listen. Yeenie beanie chili beanie. So, the world is... the world is the world. It's not that much different than it's been before. Just because it's happening in our time, well, it just seems a little crazier than usual. Things have always been crazy. And they're always going to be crazy, I'm afraid. That's just the way 'tis. Just the way it is. I hope you are dealing with it well. And last week, I gave 26 specific tips of the iceberg on how to kind of deal with stuff and how not to freak out. And I think they were pretty sound. At least they sounded sound when I sounded them to you. Is that a word? Can I sound things? I suppose I can try. And this week I'd like to talk about kind of an interesting thing in particular. And this is going to sound nuts to you. You're going to say, he's going to talk all this time about this. Well, we'll see where it goes. You know me. I don't stay on track all the time, but I'm going to talk about, what am I going to talk about today? I know what I'm going to talk about. I'm actually going to talk about beads. Beads. What do you mean he's going to... What does he even talk about beads? What about beads? Well, I think beads are fascinating. Do you know that every culture has beads that I can think of? They use beads in some form or another. That beads are ubiquitous. And that they are useful in spirituality, and that almost every culture has beads in spiritual sense in some form or another. I have some beads right here. I didn't realize that I would pull these out, but here they are. These are beads. And you're thinking, why, these might be a maraca. But no, they're not. What do you think this is? Okay, here we go. And this one. Can you tell what I'm doing? Can you tell? This takes cognition. This takes some thought. I'm not putting any into it. So the answer will be, that's right. This is an abacus. This is a Chinese abacus. Now, there are many different types of abacai. There are the Chinese abacus. This is, I have Chinese abacai. Few Chinese abacus gadgets. That's what I started on. This happens to be a Japanese abacus. That is what I have here. The soroban. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but that's how it's spelled, soroban. I've got a couple of these. I've got three or four of the Chinese versions. I've got some books on the soroban. And boy, do they take it seriously. Egods. They actually are as fast as a calculator and are very, very good at it. And, yeah, pretty fascinating. These are beads, and there are heaven beads and earth beads. And the Japanese have four on the bottom, then there's a divider, and then one on the top. So beads are used that way. The ancient Egyptians used beads. The Mesopotamians had beads. They have found beads in Troy, the lost city of Troy. Heinrich Schliemann. Beads have been all over the world. The ancient Celts used beads. The Druids used beads. Think of a group, the Inuit make beads. Beads have been carved into incredible shapes. Like the Netsky, I don't know. I should do a little research before I come on the air. Beads are fascinating to me. They've always been fascinating to me. About, I would say, 40 years ago, I made a mala of 108 beads out of cobalt blue glass beads from Yugoslavia. And they cut through anything I put them on. So I had to put them on a piece of steel cable. I bought some steel cabling. And I had to unravel it and then use a single strand of it. And they're still put together, but I don't use them anymore because they're cumbersome. You know, they're beautiful beads, unbelievably beautiful beads and gorgeous, but because of the steel cable and the fact that they are glass. But I do love them. There's no doubt about that. A client of mine, a lovely person, gave me a set of black onyx. I think they might be glass, but they might also be onyx because she knew I have a Scorpio moon. And I thought, oh, that's kind of lovely. And she put them together in the form that one might put together a rosary. But there are many more of them than a rosary. But with the chains, you know, the little... a little chain form, you know, the piece of metal that goes through and you curve it and you curve it on the other side. And it's just lovely. And of course there's rosaries and then there are all sorts. I mean, there are so many. I have made beads out of rope. And that is not my own technique. I thought I had invented it. I was so proud. Only to discover that it is as old as civilization itself and the invention of rope. I said, oh, wait, what if I tie this into knots? And the knot specifically used is known as a Chinese button knot. And, And it's been done many, many times in many, many different civilizations. But it's a beautiful thing to do. And they come out beautifully and quite amazingly. I made a mala, I've made a couple of malas of 108 out of that. and I finish it up with my own version of a specific knot that I call the magical knot, because it has a star knot of five and then a star knot of six. Well, it's six on the bottom, five on the top. And that is a magical number indeed, 11, you see. So, and that is indeed a magical number for reasons that I won't waste a lot of your time with today. But someday I may devote an entire show to the number 11, because there's gold in them, their teeth. You know, hills. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, my mind wanders. I have one crown. It is. And I didn't need it. It was a greedy dentist. Boy, did his hands rub together. That's another story all in itself. Karmic, there's some karma in that story. He got his. And not that I was rejoicing in that, but it was kind of wondrous to watch to see what happened to him in that way, because he was, we have to watch out what we do. We have to know that there are people who are simply out for themselves in the world, and that not everyone is going to treat us properly. That's not a complaint, that's just a fact. And that there are people who have their own wants and desires simply on the horizon, and their eyes set upon those rather than the people around them in the moment. And what they're doing is they're missing the joy of the moment. They're missing the joy of the people in their lives. And because of that lack of beauty, the people in our lives are beautiful, you know. And there are certainly people who are not so beautiful at times, and that's a problem. I mean, it really can be, at any rate. But you see, what does Mo do? Mo wonders. Talk about myself in the third person. How about plural? They are so off the track. Ah, what is the world? What in the world? Why does he do what he does? Why do they do what they do, that Mo? You know, it's probably more correct, you know. That probably is definitely more correct. But, so beads. Now, first of all, I find that the use of beads certainly are underrated. People don't use them the way they should. Now, what does that mean? How should people use beads? Well, I think people should use them. I have been unable to wear any or put them on my wrist, because I have several wrist malas. I have a nice set here made out of coral and one made out of sandalwood that I've had for a very, very long time. And some made out of amber, and the coral ones are very pretty and used. And coral and turquoise make a nice, you know, little... make a nice little combination of beadery. The Tibetans use those often. Let me grab these here and see if I can describe the energy. I have my beads usually in my office. Now, the reason why I can't wear any right now is because of the puppy we have, who turned a year old yesterday. So she is still energetically a puppy. But the sandalwood ones, I would love to wear some, but the truth of the matter is, if I do, they will be chewed on while I'm wearing them. You know, she could hit an artery or something. That would be tough. I'm kidding. She has a little more control than that. But let me see. Energy. Everything has an intrinsic energy. Rocks have an intrinsic energy. I mentioned this last week, I think. Yes, I did. My wife sent me a meme yesterday that just blew my mind. Otters have a pocket. They have a secret pocket. And I did not know that at all, but this was, and it's. I looked it up, it's true. They have this little fold, and in it they put their favorite rock. They put a rock. And some otters keep the same rock their entire life. Now, I presume that the rock may be used to crack shells, which they eat the insides of, you know, like mollusks, whatever, clams and so on. But I think they're, who knows? I like rocks. I have, my wife said, you know, gee, I wish I had a favorite rock. And I said, I do have a favorite rock in the backyard. And I have a second favorite rock also in the backyard. And she looked at me like, you're weird. And I am weird, yes, but I do have two rocks that are my favorites in the back. And we have gravel in a lot of places. And so, but there are two rocks that for as long as we've lived in this house have been my favorites. And I'm not going to talk about them because they know who they are. And I have a feeling that rocks are very powerful. I will tell a story. And when I was 18, I went to Egypt, and a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, a really sweet friend of mine, more like a mentor, more like a beloved uncle, he called me his Egyptian son. He said, all I want is some sand from Egypt. That's all I want from the Great Pyramid area. And I said, okay, I'll do my best to bring you some. And I was there, and I realized all I had to do was put some in my shoe, you know, and that would be easy, easy peasy. But I was there, and the one thing I felt more than anything else was that I could take absolutely nothing with me, because it felt sacred to me. And I walked between the paws of the Sphinx. And I was sacred. It was sanctum sanctorum, you know. And I was near the pyramid, and there were, you know, there was crumbling. They're crumbling. They're, you know, at least 5,000 years old, at least. And pieces of limestone from the casing were there, and pieces of the granite that they're built with. You could certainly slip a piece in your pocket. You're not supposed to, is absolutely forbidden. But people do it all the time. And the one thing I felt was, I like my friend, and I don't want to bring this to him. It's like Hawaii. They say you should never bring anything from Hawaii because it can be incredibly bad luck. Now, I'll finish this story. I came back without the sand, and my friend was absolutely crestfallen. All he wanted was some sand. I said, you know, my dear friend, go there. Go there and get your own sand. That would be the best thing to do. That would be the proper thing to do, because I don't want to, you know, aid and abet this trouble in your life. And he was really upset with me. He didn't understand. And I had to explain it to him and so on and so forth. They're just things that you don't do. And the reason, I think, is because these pieces of rock, they form a matrix, a very powerful energetic matrix. It's like, did you know that there was once an inn near Stonehenge where at the inn they would give you a pickaxe and a bag, and you could go and chip off pieces of the sarsens and, you know, the rocks at, you know, the structures at Stonehenge to take as souvenirs, which is horrific. You know, it's like, oh my God, that's pretty rough stuff. But that happens to be true. People don't understand the energetic connections between nature, between things in nature. So I think that geologically speaking, that's the improper use of the word, I know, but so be it, that rock-wise, lithically speaking, that all rocks of a certain type have a consciousness with each other, but more than that, that in a certain area, all rocks have this matrix, this connection. That sounds ridiculous, right? But I'm okay with that. I can feel it sometimes. I can really sense it. So when we have gravel delivered, that gravel has many different types of rocks, and those rocks are all connected to other rocks, but that group of gravel becomes a new cohesive energy. And it's there. It's in your area. And it becomes yours, so to speak. It's not really yours, but it's in your area. And so I think it needs to be treated to a certain extent with respect. Now, people don't agree with me, but that's fine. I don't all go around telling people this in the grocery store, for example. Say, you want to hear my thing? But the whole point is that I know somebody who came back from Egypt, a dozen years ago or so, and brought me back a piece of limestone from around the Great Pyramid. And that limestone is from the casing that used to be on around the pyramid. And I said, thanks. It's like, oh my God. And I didn't think that it would take it out on me because I didn't know for sure. But I said to this person, please be careful. Please be careful. This should not, you should put it in a box and send it back. Oh, pshaw, this will not happen. And I said, but you really, 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 and this is, please take it. And, I think I may have given it back to the person and said, I appreciate it. I may have kept it. It was someone I was seeing on a regular basis. I kept it and said, eventually, please take this. I really would feel better if you sent it back. And the person said, why, yours is just a tiny piece. And it wasn't that tiny, but yours is just a tiny piece. I feel that, I kept a huge hunk. This person had brought back large pieces. How this person did this, I don't know. Large pieces. And let me just say that I watched this person's life disintegrate in front of my very eyes. And it was really quite unbelievable to see. And I thought, it's just as simple as the Petrified Forest in Arizona. They have an entire area that is dedicated to pieces that people have taken out of the forest and then sent back to them and said, so sorry, because their lives turned to sewage after they took pieces out of the forest. They're just things you don't do. The forces of nature are incredibly powerful. And we fail to understand those forces. Now, on the other hand, you can use certain stones for beads. And I think do so quite well. So, for example, you can buy beads that are made from the same stone that the blue stones in Stonehenge are made of. The blue stones, for example, I believe the heel stone is a blue stone, and there are some other stones. The altar stone is made from the blue stone from the Preseli quarries in Wales. We're just a bit of a walk from the Salisbury Plain. And I hear their steaks are wonderful there, although that's a different story. But, these are some kind of heady thinking. You're thinking, well, wait a minute, how is that? Well, because they're made specifically for that. And the people who make them know what they're doing. They're doing so with respect. So, on the other hand, no one is going up to the pyramid and saying, I'm going to chip this off to make some beads for you. I would never do such a thing. I would never condone such a thing. But there are ways to do these things that are okay. And so if you wanted to use those blue stones, which are considered to be kind of, rather magical, as a matter of fact, it's dolomite is the stone is they come from. Dolomite, and I believe that's what it is. So that then you basically take that and you make some beads, and you can make just a little wristlet out of it. And what you get from that is an incredibly powerful spiritual experience, in my opinion. I don't have a set. I've been every now and then wanting to get a set from. You can get them on Etsy, as a matter of fact. They sell them. People make them and sell them and put them on elastic, and you can wear them around your wrist. But I would imagine I have a small piece of Porcelli Bluestone that a student once gave me. And I was very flattered. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. They said, I don't feel anything from it. I picked it up and went, yowzer, this has really nice little zing to it. And what I felt were steep mountains and rushing winds. And it was, you know, very nice. I mean, I really did like it. I've mislaid it. It's in this office of mine somewhere. And I know where it is. I know where I put it. That's a good point. But it's certainly not big enough to make, you know. So the key is that when you're choosing your beads, you think to yourself, what about the material it's going to be made out of? Coral, you can read the properties of coral. Coral, of course, comes from the sea. Some corals have been colored, some have not. The ones that I happen to have, the one I have in my hand right now, I don't know if it's been colored or not. But I used this during a time when I was going through great difficulties. And they're not great big beads, big enough to wear around your wrist. And it has a piece of turquoise, which kind of calms it down. And the difficulty needed a great deal of determination and, frankly, some anger. And the beads helped me through that. And I wore it on my wrist. And you notice a lot of people wearing beads around their wrist lately. I don't see anything wrong with that, even if they have no idea why they're wearing them. Back in my youth, people wore beads around their neck. Love beads, they were called. And they could be anything. And they were all sorts of different types. And, you know, Jim Morrison made a particular type of love bead very popular. There were tiny beads, seed beads. And now they're selling them again. And they have like a little pattern. And you can get those off of Etsy, as a matter of fact, if you want. And you can get that exact same pattern. You can get other patterns. And they're very trendy and very, you know, they're nice. They're very nice. But why not use something that makes sense to you? I have oak beads that I strung myself. I actually finished them, so they're very glossy. Someone thought once that they were tiger eye, and I thought, I guess they're too shiny. You know. So, but why oak? Because oak means something to me. If you've never heard of the ohm, some people pronounce it ohm, but I just go ohm. It's O-G-H-A-M. And that's a very old druidic, it's an alphabet, which people still use. It's a form of divination, which people use, which I have used. It's also, it's based on trees. And when you have a culture that is based on trees, as the Druids were and are today, then you become very you become very grounded in the whole concept of trees and what trees mean and what they are based upon and the meanings of those trees. And so you can use those beads. And especially, now here's a really good example of that. Let me put these other beads down here, back where they belong. If you, let's say we're going to, I hope you're not, but let's say you're going to court. And you needed to seem very innocent. Well, you might want to wear some hawthorn beads around your wrist. And people don't notice these things, you know, but you know they're hawthorn beads. And hawthorn was a sign of innocence, a tree of innocence in the Om. As a matter of fact, it is the hawthorn flower or the flowers that the May Queen wore when she went on her May Day door-to-door trying to get money for the charities and so on and so forth on May Day. So that's just one example of it, you know. Or you might say oak. Oak is strength. Oak is power. Oak is leadership. Oak is ruled by Jupiter, you know, or you know, whatever, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, using an example here. Let's say you wanted to, let's say you felt that someone had put a spell on you, you might use blackthorn. Now, blackthorn is like a, some consider it to be the black magic wood in Om. Blackthorn is what they make slow gin out of, you know. So the slow is the slow berry, is like a wild plum. And so, and if you've ever gotten smashed on slow gin, like a slow gin fizz, then you realize it really is diabolical, that's for sure. But, God almighty, I've had some bad times on that stuff. But the shillelaghs are made out of blackthorn bush wood. It grows straight and it's hard. It's really, really a hard wood. But the wood is considered to be extremely powerful and extremely, dangerous in the right hands. So if you wore, let's say, a mala or just a necklace, or not a necklace, but just beads around your neck of blackthorn, that could be incredibly intimidating, and people might not know why. They might not have a clue why. Of course, you have to know how to make beads, but you can also get them made. There are all sorts of ways to do this. You know, there are probably people, I mention Etsy again, because that's handicrafts, and there are people who are doing amazing work. A lot of these people sell pre-made things, but a lot of them are actual artisans who make things and are really, really good at it. Sandalwood is a highly spiritualized bead. It like Rudraksha. Now, Rudraksha is very complicated because it depends upon the rarity of the bead and how many divisions it has. That you can look up. All right, Z beads, DZI, those are agate. And they have, once again, they're incredibly rare depending upon how many eyes they have. And that's incredibly expensive. You know? Some of them are really old and some of them are fake and some of them are real. And that's the problem. We live in a capitalistic society where people are always out to get you. Or people aren't. There are really good people who are just trying to. So you have to kind of use your intuition and use your common sense. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. Amber is another lovely bead material because amber will warm as you run it through your fingers. And as you wear it, it'll warm right away. Amber, of course, being the hardened resin, petrified resin sometimes from trees. And that has a highly spiritual energy. The ancient Greeks called it electrum, or electra rather, not electrum. Electrum was the mixture of silver and gold and copper that the ancient Egyptians used at the top of their pyramids. Wow, far out stuff, you know, caught the light and probably some electricity, I would think, because that would be a highly electrical sort of energy. But you can use all these different things to your benefit. Amber is, as I said, highly, highly spiritual. And the problem with amber is that, once again, is that it looks just like plastic. They can make fake amber out of plastic that looks just like the real thing. Just like the real thing. So you have to be careful. You have to make sure that you aren't being ripped off. Amber is extremely expensive. And if it's not expensive, then chances are, you know, you may have a problem. But my goodness, it's beautiful, and it can be in many different colors. But the nice thing about amber is when you get it, it's almost inert, in that it has very little to no energy around it except for the tree. You can feel usually kind of a sense of, oh, this is kind of pure. This is kind of without any feeling. There is even black amber. I mean, it's amazing stuff if you look it up. I love the stuff. I love the stuff. First time I really noticed amber was when I was a kid, 7 years old, when I went to Egypt. And I would see these old men sitting, sipping their coffee, and they would be running beads. you know, and very slowly. They would be sipping coffee in an outdoor coffee shop in Alexandria or in Cairo, and they would just run these beads, and these beads would go click, click. And these amber beads would be of different colors, like some would be brown. They would be clear, but very dark, some of them very light, some of them bright yellow, like a honey, well, light yellow. Some would be a dark honey yellow. Some would be cherry amber, bright red. And all the real thing, you could see inclusions, and amber is pretty light, you know, for the most part. And they would just be, and some of them would be deep in prayer. You know, they would be repeating these Islamic mantras, you know. And that's the other thing, are mantras. Now, of course, there's Bodhi seeds. And here's my, where's my Bodhi? Here it is. I have right here my main mala, I would say, not my main, but the one I've used for, probably 40 years, almost, yeah, at least. And this is made of Bodhi seeds. And this is a Tibetan mala, and it came from Tibet. And here are 108 seeds. And at the top is a bigger seed, and that's known as the Guru bead. And you can look something like this up. And they sell for outrageous amounts of money or for very little money. It depends all upon where you find it. And one like this that has been used so much, I used to use this when I did readings, and I would just run the beads, and in my mind I would think, oh, money, Padme, oh, money, Padme, oh, money, Padme, oh, money, Padme. And man, that'll focus you into whatever you're doing. And I have counter beads on either side, on each side. And the counter beads are, you know, you can count how many times you've said a mantra. Each time you go around, that's 108. And you only count 100. You don't count the 8. Because the belief is that you have, of course, made at least one mistake when you've gone around. You know? So, Muslim tesbih, or misbaha, theirs have 99. And then when you hit that last bead on the round, you go, that's a 100. And you can go around with theirs, if you have counter beads, you can go around a million times. Not that there's a million, but there are ways to do so with their counters. Very cleverly done. Now, in Tibet, it was against the law to measure things. And it was against the law to count steps. Because that's considered like, you know, not blasphemy, but it's like, why would you do that? So these Tibetan monks and anyone would just, instead they'd use their malas. That's one step. There's two steps to figure out how big something was or how far it was from one place to another. So they'd measure their step afterward or before, and they would just use their malas. Very clever. Laws are meant to be worked around, I guess. I guess we're all finding that out nowadays. But I feel these, and it feels so comfortable to me because these have been with me for so long. And they've been something that I'm sure when I'm gone, I may give these to my daughter. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. I think I'll make sure my daughter gets these because she may need me to be around more than she's very strong, but she's a daddy's girl, you know, always has been, in a good way. She's very capable, very strong, very smart, and so on. Olive wood has become very popular, and I got my first olive wood set of beads and was quite surprised at how they felt. They were remarkably comfortable and remarkably spiritual. And I thought, why are these so special? Why do these have such a strong feeling of warmth and nurturing to them? And I thought, well, of course, they're olive. They're olive. And olives have fed the world for thousands of years. Thousands of years. They have fed the world for thousands of years. Why wouldn't they feel world? Why wouldn't they feel warm and nurturing? I love olives. I love Kalamata olives a lot, and other olives as well. And I was raised on them. You know, for my family, they were a breakfast item, along with good bread and cheese. And you know, that's here. This is breakfast. And it feels warm and feels like family. And that's how this feels. It may not feel that way to you, but also all of what is beautiful. It's when it's brand new, it's light and dark, and it's just truly a remarkably warm wood. So I have many different malas. I even have plastic malas that I like. And it's how they look in the different colors, depending on what you need. If you want to raise your energy, if you need to raise it to a level where you are feeling like, I'm going to go out and get them right now, go with something red, right? That will do it. I'll be right back. I had to sneeze. I did so. Life can go on. If you need to calm down, blue's a good choice, depending on, and they make them, I mean, you can get beads in all different colors out of all different things. It's really kind of amazing. And all you have to do, it doesn't have to be a lot of different things. A lot of different beads. It doesn't have to be tons of beads. You can get a Navagraha set of beads, which are nine, it means nine planets. Navagraha. A nine planet, it's just the nine different colors for the nine different planets, you know? The ruby red for the sun, and white for the moon. And Venus is going to be kind of a multicolored sort of thing. That's what they usually, kind of a opalescent would be good for that. Mercury is going to be, what would you use, green. Saturn is going to be dark blue. Jupiter, yellow. And that's Vedic. This is all Vedic, you see. Rahu and Ketu, orange and brown, I think. But the other way around, brown and orange. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You can look that up. But the whole point is that what you're doing is you are programming the moment and knowing what you're doing. And if you don't, you see, the whole point is you do a little research. You do a little, like here, I have some lapis beads. Lapis lazuli was, to the ancient Egyptians, a stone that was able to look beyond this realm, beyond this dimension, which is why it was used so often in mummy cases. They used glass, too. They were blown away by glass. They were able to... They were good. They could do glass very, very well, and make statues with glass eyes that look like real eyes. Really fantastic work. But for mummies and mummy cases, they often use lapis. And the reason was is because the ka, the part of the soul that was the life force energy, needed to inhabit the mummy. And it had to be able to get back into that mummy somehow. And usually it did so. It could slip in many ways, but usually it would go in through the eyes. And it would inhabit the body and look out through the eyes. And if it was lapis, well, lapis kind of looks like a knight, doesn't it? Looks like it's looking up. And if it can, you can see stars in good lapis. And so it was a representation of that to them. And lapis has a feel to it. It's kind of cold in the beginning. It'll warm up. But every bead that you run is seeing something different, a different angle of a different part of the universe, perhaps, or a different part of yourself. It's a seer's stone. So when I run these beads, it can be really trippy. Now, in the beginning, let me give you a little tip here. If you're going to use beads for those types of meditations, you don't want to think you're going to rush right into it and things are going to start popping into your mind right away. It's a process. You start, and let's say you have a mantra, and let's say it's a very simple mantra. Let's say it's the word ding. It's so simple. It means nothing. It's an onomatopoeia in English, right? The word ding, it's like the word buzz, you know, big deal. So you have the word ding, and you're just, in your mind, you're repeating the word ding, ding, in your mind. And you're running beads. Let's say you're running these rather large beads. These are probably a size 12, either a 10 or 12. I think they're probably a 12 lapis bead. And I'm just repeating my ding, ding. And that's not my mantra, but it's as good a one as any. Okay. And I'm just repeating it over and over. And after a while, I'm going to start feeling the numbness that comes with meditation, perhaps, or maybe I'm going to see something. And my aim is not to see something. My aim is to just kind of relax. And essentially, when I meditate, I try to ignore the things that I see, unless it's so startling and so powerful a vision that it means something. It's a shamanistic sort of experience. I've had those. And those shamanistic experiences are so powerful that they tend to dominate. And you realize, okay, I need to remember this. I have those when I play certain flutes that I have, certain musical instruments that I have. I have those types of experiences. But here, running this and thinking ding, 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 and going through it, because it's lapis, it will give me a very different sort of energy than oak, or running olive, or running redwood, for example, or yew. Now, if you run yew, the yew has to be treated. Yew wood is poisonous. But yew wood is a hallucinogen. If you sit under a yew tree, you can get really sick. And in time, you could become extremely ill. Perhaps even, I don't think you could die. Maybe you can. But you certainly could have some really strange experiences, weird dreams. But yew has to be treated to work with it. So if you could get yew beads, you have to make sure that they've been properly treated so that you could use them. But yew is an extremely powerful bead for magic and whatever you consider magic to be. I like oak for that same reason, but it's more wood magic, nature magic, druidic magic, for reasons that are kind of the same. Now, there's a coconut. I don't know what it's called, but I have some beads out of that, and I like them. They're tropical in a sense. The wood is very tropical. There are beads made out of, I bought some beads from a company in the Middle East, and they were made out of ebony, and I really like them. And then the guy really wanted me to buy these beads out of that were beautiful. God, they're gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Very, very white and very beautiful, but made out of camel bones. And I said, I don't want anything made out of an animal's bones. And he was really offended by that. Like, what? Who are you? What are you? And I just, you know, I was really kind of taken aback by that. Like, hey, it's up to me, man. If I don't want anything that's made out of a living being, that's my business, you know. I don't want beads that were made out of a creature that was living. That's too much of a sacrifice for me to wear on my wrist or keep in my pocket. even though I may wear leather, which to me still bothers me. Someday that will all change, I guess. But he was really kind of like freaked out that I would, you know, and he started out making very reasonably priced items, and now his stuff, you can't touch it. Well, I can't touch it. I can't afford it. Other people perhaps can. But that's how it goes in our society, in this society. Things start out as one thing and end up as another. If you want to howl at the moon, take a look at the price of amber beads. Now, some places, they're going to be real reasonable, and you're going to go, what? And ask yourself, is it too good to be true? And they'll swear up and down that it's their legitimate amber. And I always think, can they be? Maybe they can be. I just don't buy them because I don't have the ability to. It's so much easier. It really is easier not to have the you know, the ability to do those things, because you don't have to worry about it in the long run. You know, you just don't have to. But I wanted to talk about komboloi. The Greeks have a word called komboloi, and komboloi are beads that are just for playing with. And I commend them on that in a way the Turks have them too. They're beads that are just for goofing around with. I love the idea of that. Oh, I also have some beads that are mother of pearl that were given to me by a guy who went to he went to Mecca, and he went on the pilgrimage, and he came back, and he was going to give them to his mother, but he gave them. I was probably 12, maybe. And he came through Colorado, and he stayed with us overnight. And he was horrified that I knew nothing about my parents' religion, and that I couldn't write my name, which is Muhammad, you know. And I couldn't write my name in Arabic, and he was just so weirded out by the fact that they hadn't tried to indoctrinate me in anything. And so he gave them to me. He said, here, you keep these. And this many years later, he left the next morning before I got up, but he told my parents to give me the beads, and they did, and I still have them, and they're beautiful. I mean, they're really beautiful. But he did so, I think, to kind of shame my parents, and they weren't ashamed because they knew who I was. They realized that I was not that kid, you know. They taught me some things, but not a lot, because they realized that I was not a lost cause, but that I was kind of a rebel, and that my interests were definitely in other places. I'll just put it that way, if you'll let me be. I was with Tarot and astrology, and I was who I was. But komboloi are really cool. Here's a set here. And I love these things. These are, look it up, komboloi. And these are just for playing. And they look like they're plastic, most of them, although you can now get really high, expensive ones made out of metal. And, you know, companies in the United States now are making them for hundreds of dollars to sell to young people who play with them, you know. And old Greek men used to just sit around in bars and, you know, or coffee shops, I shouldn't say bar, although that too, and, you know, do tricks with these things. I'm doing some tricks right now. They're not fancy, but, you know, they're not bad. And I'm a yo-yo guy, so this was really right up my alley. They also have a thing called begleri. I don't know how it's pronounced. And those are just a few beads on a string, single string. And these are stress relievers. They're the original fidget gadgets, you know? And, man, I just love beads. They're incredible. There's nothing wrong with Melina Mercury had a set of komboloi all the time. She was an actress, a Greek actress, in Never on Sunday with Anthony Quinn. And Leonard Cohen had a set of komboloi that he carried all the time. And I should carry mine all the time. But once again, they would be destroyed. I ordered the set I have right here. Actually, this is a set my son sent to the Komboloi Museum in Athens for. And they weren't expensive at the time. As a matter of fact, they were ridiculously inexpensive for coming all the way from Athens. They're plastic. They're red. They look like red amber, but they're not. And I love them. I love them. They're simple. I got them from my son. And they help me. I'm not as stressed as I guess I am every bit as stressed as I used to be with a puppy that chews things. Today she chewed some mail that was going out. She's bigger now. She can get up and get almost anything in the house. But I love her to pieces, and she loves me back. And it's just us. I mean, we have to learn to keep things out of the way. So don't overlook beads as having real value. I mean, people think I'm nuts when I pull the beads out and start flipping them around, you know, click, 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 click. I'm sure it makes a lot of people very nervous. I have a huge set of these Komboloi that are really large that you could injure people with. And when I used to pull those out, finally my wife said, "Will you stop with those things, you know, because they look like they could hurt someone." And I said, "Oh, okay, fine, you know." But, and the ones that big are usually used to hang. You've seen them hanging from people's mirrors, right? Right. That's right. That's what they are. But I use them because there's something wrong with me. So anyway, so that's this week's show. And keep a bead on. I think that beads are really underrated. They've been around really since the beginning of history, recorded history, made out of clay, made out of everything you can imagine, including bones and weird stuff and that we won't talk about, but very cool stuff. And I love them. I'm just hooked on them. All right. That's it. Until next week. I wish you all peace and love and relaxation. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.